This morning I've been asked to read from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since you are a member of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God for the Father through him.
Well, I warned you
that the year was going to go quickly. And here we are already. End of 2018, getting ready for 2019. And ready or not, here it comes. You know, first I want to thank Dave Brockman for allowing me to gently twist his arm so that he would lead for us this morning. It brings back a lot of memories, one of which is Dave is the one that convinced me when Ann and I moved here to go into the singing rotation, leading rotation, which I did. And to be quite honest, I was nervous. I had led a smaller congregation at the time. This was quite the large congregation. And so I did my song leading, and I think we had six, seven different song leaders that were in the rotation. And when I finished, I walked back there, and Dave was standing there, and he looked at me and said, "You must have done all right, because I haven't heard any complaints." Those were his words of encouragement to me. We love the Brockmans and the Ribbles and Sharon Engels, of course, and we're glad everybody's here. Many, many years ago, before Gina and Drew were born, as a matter of fact, Ann and I were attending a one-day seminar at the Church of Christ that we were attending. And it was just before the new year began, and the seminar was entitled, "Getting in Touch with the Real You." Getting in touch with the real you. And the whole premise was that sometimes we don't do that. I mean, come on, we know ourselves pretty well, but we don't want to admit it. We know what our strengths are, and we like to talk about those, and we like to think about those, and we like to reminisce about those. But we also have weaknesses, and we don't like to talk about those. We don't want to remember those. We don't want to reminisce about those. And so this entire seminar was based on the fact that we, to really be the kind of people God wants us to be, we need to know ourselves as well as He knows us. And we need to admit to our characters, or character flaws, whatever they may be, because God knows what they are. And the only way that we're ever going to fix them is to admit to them to begin with. We got to be honest with ourselves, and that doesn't always come easy with us. So the speaker got up there, and I want us to begin this morning in the same way that we began way back then. And that's, the speaker said this: "This morning we're going to take a trip together. We're going to go to a funeral. And that funeral is yours." Now, that's a great way to start the new year, isn't it? Thinking about that. And so you're going to slip in, sit in the back, and you're going to look around. You're going to notice all of the flowers and all of the pictures of you, some which you didn't probably like. They're going to be up here for everyone to see. There are going to be four speakers at your service. Who do you think they are? Well, one of them is going to be a member of your family. One of them is going to be a friend. One of them is going to be someone you worked with. And one of them is going to be a member from your church. What do you think they're going to say? Is what they're going to say going to be consistent about your character? Or were you one way at home, one way with your friends, one way at work, and yet another way at church? You see, it's all going to come out because, unlike many funerals, everything that is said about you is going to be true. That's a real wake-up call when we think about it, isn't it? And the point that he was making is those are the kinds of things we need to think about because we need to focus. We need to focus on who we are. We need to be honest with ourselves about who we are. And then he said, I want you to look around the room of your funeral. I want you to look at the people that are there. And I want you to think to yourself, what impact did I have on their life? What did I do in our relationship to contribute to their growth as a person and as a child of God? And that also makes us think about our relationships, doesn't it? It makes us examine our own selves to see if we're really doing and being the kind of person that we want to be. So as we travel together through this next chapter in our life entitled 2019, I want us to think about a couple of things as we begin our lesson this morning. Number one, there are some traps that we can fall into. One is to be so focused on our future that we don't see today. So worried about what's going to happen a year from now that we miss the blessings that God is giving us at this very moment. And we're reminded of all that in Psalms 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. What are the last two words? In it. You can't rejoice and be glad in something you don't recognize as being there. We can't rejoice and be glad in God's blessings if we don't stop and witness them and realize them and experience them because they're there. So we can't be looking so far down the road that we miss what's happening right in front of our faces. Conversely, we don't want to be those that are always only looking at today and ignoring the future. And the Bible has a lot to say about both. But in between the two, there is a happy medium. There's a balance that we can achieve. And the balance is simply this. Live life today like it matters for eternity. Because it does. Each day of our lives has an eternal significance. And how we live our life today really reflects the value that we have on our eternal life. Are we willing to make the sacrifices? Do we truly believe God's word as He directs us in the way He wants us to live? Are we focused and living every day as if it matters, if it counts toward eternity? Because it does. It absolutely does. What will you do today that will reflect your perception of what your life for all eternity is going to be? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. The prudent wisely watches every aspect of their life. They don't jump and then look for a place to land. You ever known anyone that's done that? Have you ever looked at your kids and said, why in the world did you ever do that? Well, you know, I guess I really didn't think about it. Well, that's because they jumped. They jumped at something before they looked for a place to land. Or they shoot before they determined whether it was a man or a deer. And those things can happen spiritually as well. And the prudent man watches out for those things to make sure that spiritually they're moving in the right direction. They don't leap and not know where they're going. They don't live and not know how God wants them to live. 2018 is almost history. 2019 lies ahead, and here we go again. But it's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year because we're going to make it a great year. We're not going to be casual observers of 2019. We're going to live it. We're going to live it to its fullest as God intends for us to do, both as a people, both individually, and as a body of believers here in Lompoc. God has great plans for us this next year. He's going to give us all kinds of opportunities in which we can grow and mature in Christ. We need to take advantage of those opportunities. Maybe you wasted yesterday. Maybe you wasted a lot of yesterdays. But today is today. You own today. You have today. And how you use today is entirely within your control. And God is there to help you use it the way that He created this day to be used. So there are three brief things I want us to consider this morning as we think about living our life like it matters for eternity. And the first one is this. As we look at honestly at our lives, we need to decide what changes we want to make and to do something today to make those changes real. You know, one of the greatest challenges I have, and maybe you have as well, it's so easy to put something off. And we call it procrastination. I don't like that word. There's got to be a better word to use than procrastination because it has such a bad connotation. But that's what it is. It's procrastinating. It's not doing something that you should be doing now. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it later. We were great about that in terms of homework, schoolwork. And the further you go along in your education, the more you find out you can't do that. Because they keep giving you stuff. And before you know it, if you don't do it when you're supposed to, when you have the time to do it, if you wait, it's just going to overwhelm you. But life can do that to us as well. There are things that we know we should be doing that we don't for whatever reason. We let other things get in our way. And so we're not living today like it matters for eternity. So what changes as we look at our lives do we want to make? What changes do you want to make in your life? And whenever those changes are, be honest with yourself and do something about making those changes, not tomorrow, but do it today. Turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want us to look at a few writings of Paul. And I think we can see in his writings that he placed a great deal of importance on two things, on consistency and on faithfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Consistency, faithfulness. Early in his ministry in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 22, Paul writes, Paul said, and now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Living life today like it matters for eternity. If you were to ask Paul what he wanted to be known about him that was true, he would say simply this: I want to be known as one that is faithful to the very end. Not just faithful for a while, not just faithful on Sundays or Wednesday nights, but I want to be known as someone who's faithful to the very end. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24, he said, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Paul wanted to make sure that he was living a faithful life. And every day he did something to make that happen. And that's the challenge for us. Every day we need to do something in our lives to make whatever change that we want to make happen, so we in our lives can be more like Christ. People who live significant lives for Christ don't get there by accident. It takes effort. Now, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. The Bible says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Do we want to live a significant life for God? Then we need to do something significant today. Do you want to add your faith knowledge? We need to study. We need to develop a biblical study plan that fits into our time and into our value of His Word, and do it every day. Do we want to be kind? Do we want to add to our kindness, our compassion for other people? We need to do it today. We need to start today. The problem is we forget about it. We may do it like any New Year's resolution, first couple of days of January, and then we forget. I'll tell you, the greatest tool, one of the greatest tools that we have to help our memories are sticky notes. You have sticky notes at home? I think most people do. The gentleman that invented sticky notes worked for 3M. Unfortunately, he didn't get a piece of the pie, because sticky notes have been around forever. You want to practice self-control? Get a sticky note, write on it self-control, stick it on your dashboard, go down to the Habit at 5 o'clock and try to get out onto 8th Street. Right? Practice self-control. Or patience. You could write patience on there and do the same thing. But it takes effort. We don't achieve these things. We don't achieve anything in this life by accident. God wants us to show our love for Him by the effort that we put into being the kind of person He wants us to be. And it starts today. What I need to change, I need to change starting today, or I'm not going to do it. I need to live life today like it matters for eternity, because it does. Whatever you want to be true about you, do something today to start making that happen. And what happens when we start thinking about it and we start focusing on it and we start repeating it over and over, it becomes second nature to us. One of the things that we teach athletes, or athletes learn, it's called muscles have memory. And muscles do have memory. That's why I practice golf. I think my muscles are getting Alzheimer's, though, because they don't remember what I practice. But the fact is, our character, our minds, our hearts, our muscles as well, and they repeat what we practiced. They have memories. And if we practice kindness and we practice self-control day after day after day, pretty soon it's going to be a natural part of our character to the point that we don't even have to think about it. But in order to do that, we have to do something today to start making it happen. Secondly, we need to focus on what we want to give rather than what you want to get. Focus on what you want to give and not what you want to get. You know, I've been on a number of goal-setting seminars, as many of you have, and one of the things that they seem to always want you to do is visualize your goal in terms of it already happening. So in other words, I'm already making $100,000 a year. I already have a Mercedes. I already have a lot of money in the bank. I already live in a 5,000-square-foot house. It's kind of the secular take on what TV evangelists try to convince us all the time. It's called the prosperity gospel. The more that you give to God, the more He's going to give to you in terms of material blessings. Well, the problem with that concept, aside from it being silly, is the fact that you're still focused on what you're going to get. You're only giving because you want to get something. That's your focus. It's on what you're getting, not what you're giving. And that's totally backwards. We need to focus on what we want to give. And I'm not talking about monetarily per se. I'm talking about give of ourselves. That should be our focus. Somebody needs something, I should be willing to give of myself to help them. And not thinking about what they're going to do for me in return. That's not the way life works. That's not the way that Christ taught us. There's a big difference between having things and living a life of significance. Because what you get is only temporary. What you give is permanent. Back in 1983, there was a company that went public called Eagle Computer. And it was a big deal. We were living in the Bay Area. Ann had a couple friends that worked for Eagle Computer. The anticipation of the public offering was unbelievable. That's all people talked about. Eagle Computer, we want to get their stock. It's going to be something extraordinary. It went public. And the day it went public, the president, CEO, and founder of Eagle Computer was a multimillionaire overnight. Just like that. He was worth millions and millions of dollars. That same day, he was in his Ferrari, driving back to his house with a yacht salesman, from which he was going to buy a yacht. And 2 miles from his home in Los Gatos, California, he flipped the car and he was killed. The SEC said, wait a minute, that's not fair. That's not fair to all these folks that put all this money into this IPO, initial public offering. So we're going to refund all the money to all these investors, which they did. And they waited for things to settle down, and eventually, 3 or 4 weeks later, they offered the stock again. And investors took it because they understood that it had some value, but it wasn't worth what it was when the president was still alive. My point of the whole thing is getting things, receiving things like that, aren't what's important. It's what you give to others. He never realized what his dream was, because his dream was really material things. I don't know what his relationship was with God. But it does remind you, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but yet lose his own soul? It's not what we give that's important materially. It's what we give of ourselves that's really key. The Bible says, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. That which is righteous desires are good, and therefore their desires, when accomplished, brings prosperity, not only to themselves, but to others around them as well. And if we're doing God's will and we're committed to doing that, then He will help us accomplish what we want to accomplish to His glory. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The desire of the righteous ends only in good. But the hope of the wicked in wrath. The third thing I want us to think about as we close this morning. Here it comes. We need to look for the eternal significance in everything that we do. There were three bricklayers, and they were asked what they were doing. First bricklayer said, I'm laying bricks. The second bricklayer said, I'm earning $17.50 an hour. And the third bricklayer said, I am building a cathedral for God. You see, three people doing the same thing. What's the difference? The difference is their perspective, their hope on the accomplishing what they were doing. It's the expectation of the future. We need to look for that expectation in everything that we do. Because what we believe about our future completely controls how we experience our present. Think about that. What we believe about our future, the hope that we have, completely controls how we experience our present. And there is no clearer way to see that than looking at the life of Paul and looking at all the things that he went through, all the shipwrecks and the beatings and the persecutions and the threats and everything else that he was involved in. What kept him going was his hope for the future. John McCain wrote a book and talked about the POW camp that he was in. What kept him alive day by day by day was his hope for the future. And it was that hope that allowed him to control his present. Even though he was in prison, even though horrible things were happening to him, he still had some control of his mind and his heart because it was based on the hope of his future. That should control us as well. My hope is built on nothing less, right? In Jesus Christ and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock we stand. All other sand is what? Remember, in our lives, there are no throwaway moments. There are no useless minutes that God has given us to do something. Every moment of time is a blessing for us because we don't know how much we're going to have. There are no throwaway moments. We can use every moment for even the most mundane things. You know, many times Jesus did some miraculous things while he was doing something very simple. Walking down the road with the apostles, and he sees a tree, and he teaches them a lesson about faith. Or he's thirsty, and there's a woman at a well, and we know the story about what she learned. Or just walking down the road with someone, he would talk about their their need for salvation and their need for forgiveness. Every day matters. Each moment of our life is filled with eternal significance. We may think that we're just killing time as we're going through our day, but that's not the case at all. That's not the way that God wants us to live. He wants us to live our life today, every moment, like it matters for eternity, because it does. We need to look for the eternal significance in our work, in our words, in our relationships, and in our actions, and do it all to the glory of God. Every year in Newport Beach, they have a sandcastle sculpturing contest. I don't know if you've ever seen some of those elaborate sandcastles that they make, but it takes a real effort to be able to build those, and it takes a lot of time. They have to plan when the tide's coming in and out, and they've got to make sure that they've got enough time to build whatever it is they're going to build. They've got to be focused on every single detail in that sandcastle. And thousands of people show up at Newport Beach to look at these great works of art. But a few days after the contest has ended, and you walk down to that same beach, you don't see those works of art anymore. Because the tide has come in, it's washed them all away. There is no evidence of them ever being there. God doesn't want us to live our lives that way. A few days after we're gone, after we leave this life, that there be no evidence of us ever being here. By living our life today like it matters for eternity, we will leave an imprint on others, on the way that God wants us to live. We may not think so. We may think that I'm wasting my time and energy and prayers on this person. But God tells us that's not the way it is. What kind of impression do you want to leave on people when you're gone? If this, in fact, were your funeral, and I was standing up here like I've done way too many times the last 5 years, what would I be saying about you? That's true. What would you want me to say about you? And as we left this place, what would people be saying about you? And the kind of imprint and impact you had on their life. We're going to have some great opportunities in 2019 to do a lot of good things with God's help and His blessing. And we're going to do that. But only if we live our life today, all of us, like it matters for eternity. If you're here this morning and we can help you do that in any way, Dave's going to lead us in an invitation song. And so if we can, offer prayers on your behalf. If you've not yet become a child of God, we want to help you do that as well. And as we think about prayers, let's think about all the people on our prayer list as well. We have people that are going through physical problems, emotional problems, that are in need of our prayers, things that only God can fix. We want to remember them as well. So if we can help you in any way this morning, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.